Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Access Gates Technologies Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shishir Gahoi from Access Gates Technologies Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone, and I am delighted to welcome you all to this earnings call for the first quarter ended June 30, 2023. I hope you all had an opportunity to review our press release and the investor presentation, which are available under the investor section of our website, and the same are accessible in the BSE and NSE websites. To discuss our results, we have with us our CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Arun Krishnamurthy, Mr. Mujahid Alam, CEO of Mistral, and our Group CFO, Mr. Shashidhar SK. They will take you through our results and business performance, after which we will proceed for question and answer session. Before we begin the conference call, I would like to mention that this conference call may contain some forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. The actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guarantee the future performance of the company and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand over the call to our CEO and MD, Mr. Arun Krishnamurthy. Over to you, Arun.
Thank you, Shishir. Good evening, everybody. It's always nice to connect with you. I'm really glad to have Shashi, who's our CFO, joining me on the call, as well as Mujahid Alam, who's the CEO of Mistral. We call Mujahid as Muju. This is the first time he's joining our earnings call, and I'm sure you'll enjoy interacting with him. I'm pleased to report that FY24 has begun on the back of a strong performance in Q1, both in terms of revenue and profitability. During the quarter, we initiated new customer relationships, strengthened our business with our existing customers, closed a strategic acquisition, continued to build on our digital competencies, focused on strengthening our balance sheet, and also enhanced our board composition and governance standards. As you can see, it's been a really busy quarter for us. The company in Q1 FY24 posted consolidated revenue of 214 crores, which grew by 17% from INR 183 crores in Q1 of last year. In US dollar terms, the company recorded a revenue of $26.2 million, growing by 11% from $23.6 million recorded in quarter one of last year. Our EBITDA grew by 45% year-on-year from 23 crores in Q1 of FY23 to 33 crores in Q1 of this year. Our EBITDA margin improved by 300 basis points for the same period from 12.4% to 15.4%. We continue to gain wallet share from existing clients in aerospace and defense. Our new verticals of automotive and energy are gaining traction in their share of total revenue, and the order pipeline across all verticals continues to remain robust, except for heavy engineering, where the current growth remains flat. I'm also happy to inform you that we have signed definitive agreements with ADD Solutions GmbH, Germany. This is a company which specializes in automotive solutions to global OEMs. It provides services in the areas of wiring systems, software testing, and automation. This acquisition will provide a strategic foothold to us in the automotive space, with significant offshoring opportunities, besides getting us access to automotive contracts with marquee global automotive OEMs. This will also get us a foothold in Germany, which, as you know, is one of the biggest automotive markets. The acquisitions of ADD Solutions will further enhance our automotive capabilities. The acquisition is expected to close shortly, and we hope to consolidate revenues for this business from September 2023 onwards. I'm also glad to report that our nascent verticals, automotive and energy segments, are scaling up well. Their combined share of revenue in Q1 FY23 was 8.4%, which grew from 5.4% in the same period of previous year. I'm sorry, that is Q1 of FY24. Revenue from automotive vertical doubled, while the energy vertical grew by 25%. Going forward, automotive and energy will constitute significant portions of our revenue. Our aerospace business has continued its growth momentum and grew by 29% year-on-year. Revenue contribution from this vertical now stands at 30%. It's the highest in the last 8 quarters. As mentioned in our previous earnings call, we have started executing the enlarged scope of business with our strategic customer, and we are witnessing good momentum in this sector. The heavy engineering business slightly declined during the quarter due to lower offtake and deferred client projects. We are exploring opportunities in digital and analytics in this sector and are hopeful that FY24 will be a growth year for the company in this vertical, considering the new initiatives we have launched in this segment. The products and solution business, representing our defense vertical, grew by 20% over the previous year, recording revenues of 62 crores, contributing 29% of our total revenue. While the revenue from Mistral grew by 30% year-on-year, Axis Cadus Aerospace and Technologies experienced a degrowth of 23% year-on-year. And this is due to delays in certain inspections and approvals, which we expect will happen subsequently. However, despite lower revenues, both Mistral and Axis Cadus Aerospace recorded healthy profitability during the quarter. On the operations front, the company is currently implementing Project Resonance to realign the policies and practices of the parent company and our subsidiaries as one Axis Cadus in order to bring about a high-performance culture in the organization. We have also effected certain changes and redeployed a global senior leadership team to prepare us for the next level of growth in various geographies. We continue to make significant investments to build our digital capabilities, which is critical to de-risk our business and improve our margin profile, even though it may compromise our short-term margins. As already reported, the company is taking steps to strengthen its balance sheet and has just concluded the refinancing of the high-cost borrowing for Mistral acquisition, which will reduce our finance costs significantly. With respect to governance, we are privileged to report that Dr. S. Christopher has joined our board as non-exec, non-independent director. Dr. Christopher served as Secretary, Department of Defense, Ministry of Defense, Government of India, and as the Chairman of DRDO, Director of Center for Airborne Systems, Group Director at Electronics and Radar Development Establishment, which is LRDE, and is presently engaged as a Professor of Practice in the Department of Electrical Science at the Indian Institute of Technology, Madras. He is also the recipient of many accolades and rewards. The company stands to immensely gain from his experience and expertise in the technology and the defense space, and especially in the defense domain. To conclude, in FY24 and beyond, our focus is to build a well-governed and sustainable company with consistent growth and profitability by relentlessly delivering world-class and cutting-edge engineering and technology solutions and products to our global clients. I now request Muju to give you an update on the Mistral business.
Thank you, Arun. I am delighted to be part of this earnings call and report.
Sir, sorry to interrupt you. You are sounding a little distant.
Hi, I am audible now?
Yes.
Is this okay? And thank you, Arun. I'm delighted to be part of this earning call and report for FY24 Q1 performance of the Mistral Conditions. It has been approximately 6 months since Mistral became a wholly owned subsidiary of Axis Cadus, and we are pleased to state that we are perfectly aligned with the group's objectives. We are working together to be part of the growth story of Axis Cadus. As you all know, Mistral is a cutting-edge technology design and system engineering company delivering technology solutions in product engineering space, aerospace, defense, and homeland security, with marquee clients including Ministry of Defense, DRDO, Defense PSUs, with a legacy of delivering technology solutions for its customers for more than 25 years. Mistral sees exciting opportunities in both PES and defense verticals in the coming years. We believe that Mistral and Axis Cadus are perfectly positioned to leverage and synergize each other's capabilities to deliver quantum value to our customers, investors, and stakeholders. In the year FY23, Mistral recorded a strong revenue growth of 40% with revenues reaching 235 crores. In Q1 of FY24, despite a weak quarter from product engineering services, we achieved a year-on-year growth of 30%, increasing from 56 crores to 72 crores. The defense business contributed 41 crores, while the PS business accounted for 31 crores. We are pleased to report an EBITDA of INR 14 crores in Q1 of FY24 compared to 7 crores in the same period of the previous year. The EBITDA margin also saw significant improvement, reaching 19% with an expansion of 700 basic points from the 12% recorded in Q1 of FY23. We are happy to note that defense order pipeline remains robust, with Mistral entering the production phase of earlier developed prototypes for various defense programs. Production orders offer higher margins compared to development orders. In Q1 of FY24, Mistral delivered approximately 15 crores of production orders compared to 35 crores for the entire FY23. In product engineering space, we continue to add global logos with strong growth potential. The Indian government initiatives and policies promoting Make in India in the defense electronics and semiconductor industry will open new opportunities for Mistral. Additionally, our proven track record in engineering design services for global OEMs gives us a competitive edge and advantage in the semiconductor space, as global semiconductor companies are increasingly outsourcing the design and engineering tasks. Furthermore, the collaboration between DRDO and private defense companies in the form of DCPP, that is Design Cum Production Partners, has opened up new opportunities for Mistral in technology development and quick deployment. In summary, we are optimistic about the opportunities developing in both the verticals, and our integration with Axis Cadence will bring about incremental growth in revenue and profitability for both entities in the coming years. Now I invite our Group CFO, Mr. Shashidhar, for an overview of the financial results.
Thank you, Munju. Are you able to hear me, Nachiket?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Good evening to everyone, and I once again welcome you all to the earnings call. I'm delighted to report that in Q1 of FY24, we have continued our journey to improve revenue and profitability quarter on quarter. As has been explained by Arun and Muju, we are in the midst of exciting developments in the industry as well as in the company in the ERD, semiconductor, embedded technology and defense segments. We are well positioned to harness these opportunities and deliver growth and value to our customers, investors and stakeholders. The company has been consistently expanding its footprint in the last several quarters, both in existing verticals and new verticals, such as automotive and energy, and adding strategic logos in each of these verticals. The company is making considerable investments in digitalizing revenues and automating costs in order to expand revenues and enhance profit margins. The company's inorganic growth strategy is aimed at augmenting competencies and capabilities and further enhance our global ambitions, which will fuel our future growth of Axis Cadence Group. As reported by Arun, the company has achieved INR 210 crores plus of consistent revenues in the previous three quarters and has increased the monthly revenue run rate by 22% as compared to Q1 of FY23. In Q1 of FY24, the company recorded consolidated revenue of INR 214 crores and grew year-on-year by 17%, while there was a marginal revenue degrowth of 4% sequentially due to softness in heavy engineering, PS and lumpiness in the defense revenue. However, the company is currently having healthy order book to deliver on the revenue objectives for the FY24. The company's strategy to reduce customer concentration risk by diversifying into new verticals and developing strategic logos is bearing fruit. Business from other than top 10 customers grew by 39% year-on-year to INR 50 crores in Q1 of FY24 from INR 36 crores in Q1 of FY23. This is expected to gather pace in the coming periods. And coming to profitability, EBITDA, excluding other income for Q1 of FY24, is at INR 33 crores, up by 45% from Q1 of FY23. It was at INR 23 crores. The EBITDA also grew sequentially by 10% from the normalized EBITDA of 30 crores in Q4 FY23. If you remember, in the last earnings call, we reported that of the EBITDA of INR 44 crores, which was reported in Q4 of FY23, the normalized EBITDA was 30 crores after removing the one-time net benefit of INR 13 crores due to the COVID relief and other expenses which were recorded in Q4 of FY23. The consolidated EBITDA margin is at 15.4%. compared to 12.4% in Q1 of FY23, which has shown an improvement of 300 basis points year-on-year. EBITDA margins improved by 170 basis points sequentially against the normalized EBITDA margin of 13.7% in Q4 of FY23. The EBITDA margins are maintained despite significant investments in human resource in yet-to-be margin-accretive digital team, and the recruitment for the new logos and new verticals which are yet to achieve critical mass. The consolidated PAT in Q1 of FY24 stands at INR 5.7 crores as compared to a PAT loss of INR 31.7 crores in Q1 of FY23 after taking the exceptional charge of INR 44 crores. The employee cost in Q1 of FY24 at INR 109 crores has gone up by INR 2.4 crores only, just about by 2% quarter on quarter, against the normalized employee cost of INR 106 crores in Q4 of FY23. The reported employee cost of INR 85 crores should be adjusted for the one-time COVID grant payroll, COVID grant from in Axis King of an amount of INR 21 crores, which has been set off from the payroll in Q4 of FY23. As has been reported, the company has refinanced high cost debt of INR 210 crores in Q1 of FY24. Of the finance cost of INR 20.1 crores, INR 6.7 crores pertain to cost incurred due to prepayment. Considering the interest savings of around INR 2 crores per quarter from refinancing, the finance cost should moderate to around 11 to 12 crores per quarter from what is reported in Q1 of FY24 of 20 crores at current levels of borrowing. That will start kicking in from Q2 of FY24. The company has a strong balance sheet with net worth standing at INR 326 crores at a consolidated level, with sufficient cash generation happening at consolidated levels to comfortably service our debt obligations and generate free cash flows. We are happy to report that CARE has upgraded the credit rating of the company to BBB plus stable from the earlier BBB. We are confident of further upgrades in the coming quarters. The company is also strengthening its governance process with a global controller taking charge to deliver on internal controls, risk and corporate governance mandate for the entire group. To conclude, in the last several quarters, the company has been largely successful in setting upon the path of sustainable growth and profitability and strengthening the balance sheet, and we are confident of building on this momentum in FY24 and beyond. Thank you, and we will now open the floor to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sarasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so this question is for Muju, actually, for Mistral. So if you can just give us some overview on the semiconductor business, how the semiconductor business is shaping up and what are the future opportunities you see in the semiconductor business? That's first. Second question is on the defense side. So last year we did 35 crore of production revenue. So how much you think we can do production revenue this year and the next year, FY24 and next year, FY25?
Well, to answer your second question first, in terms of production revenues, the production revenues are in upstream. So Q1 we have done 15 CR and you will see continuous growth in the next few quarters, and I expect this to continue growing in the next 1 year to 2 years.
Any numbers you would want to share?
I think we should avoid specific guidance in terms of numbers, but essentially what Muju is very clear about is that quarter on quarter, if you look at Q1 of this year, the production revenues were 15 crore. And the run rate with respect to the quarter-on-quarter will only increase is what perhaps the guidance you can give.
Perfect.
I can assure you that it will be a continued growth in production revenue moving forward.
Perfect. And on the semiconductor side?
Semiconductor business, yes, we have seen a little bit of slowdown in Q1. We hope that we will catch up by Q3 and Q4. Things are changing. And at the same time, with the Government of India initiative of promoting electronics manufacturing locally here and setting up a semiconductor facilities locally in India, we see this opportunity for us will increase. And we already have marquee clients in terms of TI, analog devices, NVIDIA, whom we work with on semiconductor business. So this is only grow moving forward.
Okay, perfect. And if I have to compare the capabilities, missile capability, defense capability, radar capability, I would say specifically.
Okay.
With data patterns. How do you put yourself with the data pattern? Do you have the similar capabilities as data patterns?
If you look at data pattern Mistral, in terms of capabilities, we are very much similar. The only thing which data pattern has probably has their own manufacturing facility, which we do not have. And the reason behind this, we believe that today manufacturing is a commodity kind of item. And if we invest on a manufacturing facility, we will be sticking to the same facility without any upgrades because the ROI is much longer. So here, if I have a choice, I can go and get it manufactured anywhere across the globe or within the country with the best of facilities available at my disposal. And while we focus on building IPs and owning IPs at Mistral.
Perfect. Perfect. That's it. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Inder Soni from Rohan Junis Goldfry. Please go ahead.
So, hi Arun, congratulations on a great set of results. So this is a big picture question. In your previous jobs, you've done a great job of taking existing logos and growing them into big businesses. So if you think about your current company, you have some of the biggest clients in the world, both overseas and in India, but the revenue from each of these clients is still quite small compared to the capabilities. So what are you doing? What processes are you putting in place so that, you know, over the next 1, 3, 5 years, we can really grow the revenue significantly?
Hi, Inder. It's nice to speak to you again. Great question. So I would say that, like you said, our focus is twofold. One is, of course, we have some very good marquee logos, and the attempt is for us to expand the revenue margins with these clients. So what we're doing is that if you look at the aerospace client that we work with and the heavy engineering client, our focus is to move beyond traditional mechanical engineering, which has been our bread and butter, and that's where most of our revenues come from currently, is to move more into the digital and into the embedded space. So as we speak, and this is something that we've been doing over the last 2 quarters since we completed the acquisition of Mistral, is that we put in very aggressive plans to take our embedded capabilities, all the good stuff that we do in the defense business as well as in the PES business, to the aerospace and to the heavy engineering clients. And we are doing this by setting up workshops with these clients. You know, we are having senior leaders from Mistral traveling and meeting some of these Axis Cadis customers. The good news is that we have a supplier code with these clients, so it's easy for us to cross-sell some of these capabilities and grow that. And we are very optimistic that, you know, we will see good progress on that because we are seeing very good uptake from clients. And as you know, in the industry, you know, the mind share is in digital. A lot of the revenues are being spent on embedded and digital. So we believe that's the right strategy. Having said that, growing new clients in the new verticals of automotive and energy is a big focus as well as growing semiconductor, which comes in through the Mistral acquisition. So again, in these areas, we're looking at how we can build in deep domain capabilities. We are building a partnership, an ecosystem of partners, so that we can penetrate and, you know, we can be more relevant to this client. So the new business part of it and the new logos is something that's equally important. And like I've mentioned in the previous earning calls, we want to grow the number of strategic accounts because the growth should actually come from strategic accounts rather than from, you know, a whole slew of accounts. We want to be relevant to a set of accounts, a smaller set of accounts which are strategic to us, and then we sort of grow from there.
Great. Can you also talk about two areas? So one, automotive with your new acquisition in Germany. Can you give us some more color on that? And then with Mistral, you had talked about how, you know, you're going to increase the amount of production. You might not do it yourself, but the amount of things being produced will grow. Maybe Muju can talk about it. Maybe you can talk about it. So what does the pipeline look like over the next, you know, 1, 2 years for things that are going to move from sort of single piece design prototype to larger scale production in Mistral?
Yeah, so let me take them one by one. So as far as Ad Solutions is concerned, you know, they have really good capabilities in wiring harness as well as software testing, and these are areas which are growing very rapidly. They work with the world's largest R&D automotive player, and we see opportunities twofold. One is that the work that they do with this client, we are very confident that we can offshore some of this and therefore grow the pie. The second thing is, as you're aware, you know, we have a new relationship with a lot of other automotive OEMs. So we're very confident that we can take the capabilities that Ag Solutions has to these other customers. And some of the work that they do in Germany is cutting edge, so it is relevant across legacy OEMs as well as some of the new age OEMs who sort of operate in the EV space. And software testing is really the area which is growing, because most of the investment in automotive is happening on ADAS, is happening on connectivity, on infotainment. And this is squarely where Ag Solutions has all their strength. So we're very positive that, you know, we will be able to, you know, do a lot in terms of taking these capabilities global. As far as Mistral is concerned, I'll probably just start off and then leave it to Muju to continue. But as you know, in defense, you know, the life cycle is that we start with, you know, what are called design wins. So we do a lot of, we win an order, we do a lot of R&D, we do the certification, and then the production starts. And clearly, you know, when we do the R&D, that's when we need to invest, that's when the margins are a little bit lower. Then we get into a certification period, which can span 1 to 2 years. And once the certification happens, you know, the lab or the government, they assign a part number to us, which is something that only we can provide. And once that is done, then the production starts, and the margins are really, you know, much, much more lucrative when it comes to production. So I think with Mistral, we are now entering a wave of production over the next 4 to 5 years, I would say. So like we said, you know, last year, whole of last year, we did 35 crores of production. In quarter one itself, we've done 15 crores. Like Muju said, every subsequent quarter, this run rate is going to get better. I don't want to get into specifics, Inder, but the pipeline that we have is pretty huge, and we hope to, you know, I would say, increase the production revenue significantly, certainly in FY 2024, but FY 2025 will be better than FY 2024, and the same goes for FY 2026. I don't know if you want to add anything there, Muju.
Well, I just want to add one more point. See, whatever Arun spoke about was the design wins which we already have, which are going into production. At the same time, where I am coming from here, there's one more new initiative which the Government of India or the DRDO have taken, wherein in the past, all production orders were either routed through one of the PSUs like BEL or HAL. Yeah. But today, that scenario is changing, wherein they are encouraging private partnership to design, develop, and produce the final equipment. Yeah. So this will throw up more opportunities for companies like Mistral, wherein a portion of design could have been done by Mistral, some with DRDO, some with some ex company. Yeah. But the responsibility of putting all this together will be with one individual. So this will definitely increase revenues going forward.
So last question from my side, and this is for Muju. You know, semiconductor revenue, yes, I know it's a little bit cyclical, it goes up and down, just like defense. But can you tell us in Mistral, what are your capabilities? Because if you think about it, semiconductor usage in India is going to grow a lot. Globally also, semiconductor is becoming so important with all this artificial intelligence and everything. So can you tell us what is it that, you know, Mistral does in semiconductor, and what is the opportunity for you over the near and medium term?
Yes, in terms of semiconductor, we work with global OEMs, working with them, building the software and hardware capabilities, doing some evaluation models and stuff like that. And also we work with very many product companies doing design work on semiconductors. What is the new thing which Axis caters today is, we are opening our doors to automotive. If you look at the new generation of automotive vehicles, it has got more and more of electronics. So with electronics being used in automotive, we are seeing a totally new segment opening up for us. And traditionally, when we work with semiconductor companies only, now we can work with automotive companies and industrial houses, wherein we bring in electronics into these domains. So this is our growth area.
Great, thank you. I'll hand over to the next person.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika Fincap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Ishit Shah here. First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers to the team. And hi, Arun. my question is on, can you give some color on key accounts that you would have added in the ER&D space and the number of clients that we have which are above $1 million, etc. Whatever we can share.
Yeah, hi Nishit, good to speak to you again. So we had, like I said, very good progress when it comes to new verticals, both in automotive as well as in energy. And actually, we also had some good additions in PES. Unfortunately, you know, pardon me, but I don't think I'll be able to name some of these clients because of confidentiality reasons. But I can give you a profile of some of them. So in automotive, one of the clients we started work about 2 quarters back is a very large OEM based out of the UK. You know, who makes sport utility vehicles and you know, off-roading vehicles. We also work with one of the largest American OEM players who have a presence in India but also globally. In addition to that, we work with two tier ones. One of them is a Japanese tier one, again, multi-billion dollar company, more than 15 billion in revenues. We also have started work with another tier one, which is UK based, and we're actually developing some algorithms and, you know, things like driver drowsiness systems, etc. So that's the kind of profiles that we have signed up in the automotive space. When it comes to energy, you know, as you're aware, we work with one of the largest tier one subsea surface providers. In addition to that, now we are casting a net into the Middle East, and we are looking at starting relationships with, again, some tier ones and some providers who, I would say, provide their services to some of the largest oil and gas manufacturers in the world in the Middle East. You know, so that is also looking very positive, and going forward we feel that we can do a good job on that. In terms of clients, Sashi, can I hand it over to you in terms of the profiles of clients, new clients over 1 million?
Yeah, so basically, you know, all of these clients, you know, as I was earlier mentioning, you know, even though they have not actually reached that 1 million mark, all of these are heading out to be strategic logos for us in the next you know, 1 to 2 years time. But one thing which I can tell you is the pace at which they are growing in terms of our revenue share, as earlier Arun explained and what I just now mentioned, you know, the growth in terms of all these new clients is at a pace of around 40% as compared to Q1 of FY23. And going forward, quarter after quarter, this will continue to accrue in terms of our incremental revenue.
Yeah, great. So, Arun, my next question is on the capabilities. In the ER&D space as well as now the energy vertical, are we growing the capabilities? Are we hiring the industry specialist people? I mean, can you give some color on that area?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, you know, if you look at each vertical, and I can probably just give you a little bit of an extended answer. If you look at aerospace, for example, you know, traditionally we've been very strong in the mechanical engineering, structural engineering part. But our focus now is we're looking at digital, we're looking at avionics, and again, we do a lot of avionics in the defense space. So we're looking at how we can get avionics into the commercial space. So that's an area of focus for us. In addition to this, we're looking at manufacturing engineering. So we have now started some work which we, you know, traditionally used to do in heavy engineering, but now that has started in aerospace. So we're looking at avionics, we're looking at digital, and we're looking at manufacturing engineering, and we have built out capabilities, we are hiring people. In some cases, we are cross-leveraging capabilities from Axis Cadis Aerospace as well as Mistral from the defense space. If you look at transportation, and here I would say automotive and heavy engineering is similar to an extent, but the focus for us is that since we are starting these as new verticals, we want to focus on the embedded and the software part, because clearly, you know, a lot of the mechanical engineering part is quite commoditized. And, you know, the rates are obviously also much better when it comes to digital and embedded. So we are very keen on developing in automotive, for example, AUTOSAR capabilities. We're looking at software testing. We're looking at HMI testing. We're looking at, you know, getting into the whole connectivity aspects of it. So these are the areas that we're looking at. We have also started some digital projects which are clients, both in the supply chain area as well as in inventory management. And again, because of the fact that both these industries have been exposed to some of the cyclical aspects of semiconductor chip shortage, etc. In addition to, of course, upgrading their vehicles with electronics, they're also looking at the entire ecosystem in terms of how they can digitize their supply chain, how they can make, you know, provision of these much more predictable. So there's a lot of investment going there. So we're looking at the whole, the sales management of it, the inventory management and the supply chain, and we're looking at digital solutions for this. If you look at energy, you know, it's a very asset-heavy industry. So the focus that we have is, of course, we're looking at the mechanical aspects of it. We're also looking at, you know, especially with climate control, a lot of the large refineries need to build out carbon capture, sulfur capture plants. And there's a big investment going into that. And there's a lot of construction, there's a lot of project management. So we're looking at that particular aspect of energy. In addition to that, you know, because it's very asset intensive, one is, you know, we're also looking at things like predictive maintenance strategies. Because all these assets need to function, they need to be maintained, it needs to be done in an optimal way so that, you know, the budget is sort of managed. So that's where we are focusing as far as energy is concerned. And like I said, on energy, we're looking at tying up some very good partnerships in the industry. But of course, we're also hiring some people on our own. When it comes to PES and the semiconductor business, again, we have signed up some, I would say, two logos which are very, very marquee logos. One of them is a client who, you know, doesn't like to be named at all, but we have started some work with them, and we are very, very confident that they are investing a lot in India, and they are also looking at the wearable space in a significant way. And obviously, there's going to be a big semiconductor play out there, so that's one area. And then we're also looking at automotive. Like Muju said, there's a huge play for the PES business in automotive. And I think there are two or three new logos that we signed this quarter itself. They're still small engagements, but we want to sort of have the convergence of automotive and PES so that we can grow that. So in summary, this is where we are sort of looking at niches. Each vertical, we're looking at specific capabilities as well as hiring, you know, some senior leadership talent. And as we progress the company, maybe when we get into FY25, et cetera, we will then look at reorganizing ourselves along BUs where we can have a vertical strategy. We still feel that, you know, at the current levels is probably suboptimal, because when you move into verticals, you need separate cost structures, you need separate functions, et cetera. But we believe that with the current growth rate that we have, we are well poised to maybe enter next financial year, look at a vertical-based structure, which will bring in much more focus and depth into each vertical that we want to grow.
Great. Thank you for a very detailed explanation. And once again, a very smart acquisition that Ad Solutions. And can you give some color on the number of clients that Ad Solutions would be having without naming the clients? And how is that going to help you in penetrating into the larger auto giants?
Sure, Nishit. So if you look at Ad Solutions, they have one big client. So I would say a substantial portion of their revenues that with that one big client. And that's the reason we're interested, because, you know, there's certainty of revenue. So the thing with acquisitions is sometimes you can make a great acquisition on capability, but then if contracts run out, then, you know, you sort of have to scramble around for new business. So the good thing about Ad Solutions is that they have a long-standing relationship with one big client, and they have contracts. So they have good revenue predictability for the next two financial years, because the contracts run into that. Having said that, beyond this, they have supplier codes with 10 other big automotive as well as tier one companies in Germany. And the thing with automotive in Germany is that it's virtually impossible to get a new supplier code. The only way to get in is to make an acquisition. So we are very confident that through this, and given the presence that iSolution has a legal presence, a supplier code, we will be able to take, you know, put in a sales effort, build out capability, be more aggressive, and sort of grow the business with the other clients as well.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Nishit. I'll request you to join the queue again for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Arun from Shubhla Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations for the good set of number. So my question is with regard to the order pipeline, that earlier we faced the issues of the smaller orders, and the duration of that was also not that much. So if you can show some color on that order pipeline, the size and the average duration, that will be quite helpful.
Okay, so I can probably give you some qualitative feel, Arun, on in terms of our order pipeline. So obviously we have taken a certain target for the year, and like I said in the past, we are looking at industry-leading growth. I would say that when we started the year, as far as our you know, annual business plan was concerned, we had factored in about 30% of new business. Now, I'm glad to say that after quarter one, the new business that we need to win in order to achieve the pipeline is about, to achieve our business plan is about 18%. So I can just give you that. I don't want to get into too many specifics because obviously this is confidential information, but the focus for us is to look at, project-based business. We are not very keen on staffing business. Unless staffing is an entry point into a strategic customer, then we'll start that way. But we are very keen on making sure that we get larger contracts, we have more project-based business because that is a sustainable level to grow. So I think sitting at where we are, I would say that, achieve our business plan, we need to get about 18% of new business. And actually, as far as defense is concerned, I would say that most of the order pipeline is already in the bag. So, with defense, like we had talked in the past, again, there is some lumpiness because there is a lot of dependence on inspections happening on time, certifications happening on time. But as far as the pipeline and the order book is concerned, that is all there. We just have to make sure that, the spillover doesn't happen and we have to sort of try and close it within a certain quarter. But the best way to measure a defense business is a year-on-year basis. And we are very confident that, we have the right revenue profile for the year-on-year growth as far as defense is concerned.
Okay, that is quite helpful, sir. And my next question is that in your last con call, you mentioned that you are looking for a partner in Europe or North America to enhance the capability in the automotive segment. So, by the acquisition of Edge Solutions, whether that purpose will fulfill or we will look for some more opportunities also?
Yeah, so Arun, with Edge Solutions, now we have a partner in Europe with strong capabilities. So, for the moment, we will not be looking at any more acquisitions in automotive.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajendra Shah from Fidelity Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Arunji. As you grow rapidly, what issues or factors or parameters do you track to make sure that this doesn't make things go out of whack or off track? I mean, just how do you manage risk if something goes wrong?
Yeah, Rajendra, thanks a lot for your question. So I would say that one is, of course, the macroeconomic situation. We are still not completely back to normal. I would say there is still some unpredictability. Certainly when it comes to our PES business, what has happened with the semiconductor industry is that, with COVID, there's a huge shortage of chips and kits. And soon after that, a lot of people overstock. And some of the production softness we're seeing is because, they're waiting for that inventory to run out. So I think that is certainly something we need to keep an eye on. Secondly, on heavy engineering as well, now we are starting to see, the demand coming back in. So I would say one risk for us is obviously to keep an eye on macroeconomic factors, especially some of the verticals that we are placed in. So for example, aerospace now is extremely robust, but 3 years back, I would have said that was a big risk for us, especially going through COVID. So one is that. The second I would say is that, availability of talent is always something that is important for us. We are a services company, and of course the defense part, because it is a lot of it now will be production based, our reliance on resources and people will be a little bit less as compared to when we're in the R&D phase. But when it comes to the rest of the verticals, all the non-defense commercial verticals, availability of people and the ability to ramp them up quickly, I think that is another aspect that we keep an eye on. Now, I won't say it's a risk in the sense that I think things have got better. It was a very tight situation 6 months back. It is still not completely eased out, but I would say it's better now than it was some time back. And the third aspect I would say is, for a lot of our clients, availability of material and supply chain is a concern. In certain cases, like for example, aerospace, there's a lot of dependence on certain raw materials and rare earths coming from Russia, from Ukraine. And obviously the crisis out there has implications of that. Similarly, when it comes to energy, especially in Europe, they went through a period where there was a bit of an energy crisis, but now it looks like the situation wasn't as bad as what it, could have been. So, some of the inventory, some of the supply chain aspect is something that we need to keep an eye on. And that could be a potential risk. And, again, when we talk of softness in PES, it is typically a supply chain kind of issue. And again, when it comes to defense as well, we are very, very dependent on components and we are dependent on our suppliers. So to be able to stock our inventory in time to make sure that we don't have obsolescence, that is the other risk that we need to keep an eye on. So these are the three or four things that we constantly monitor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question
is not coming clear. Can you please speak through the handset?
Is it better now?
Yes.
Sir, so my first question is from the presentation on slide 10, where under aerospace we mentioned about synergies between Axis Cable and Mistral and the progress on supporting Indian defense project on mechanical side. So if you could just highlight on this point.
Yeah, I'm just opening the slide. Just give me a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is basically, you know, we have a lot of capabilities in aerospace. Clearly, Axis Cable is where we've been working with a large OEM for the last 14 years. So we understand, you know, structural and engineering to a large extent. And of course, through both Mistral and actually even through Axis Cable Aerospace, there's a lot of work we do on avionics, test benches, etc. So we are looking at, you know, how we can synergize both of these. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of defense opportunities that we want to address, you know, both in India as well as overseas. So we are bringing together the structural aspects in some cases in Indian defense. You know, we don't work on the structures aspect. So we're looking at how we can leverage the Axis Cable capabilities. In other cases, like I mentioned, when it comes to global OEMs, we are looking at leveraging Mistral's avionics and radar capabilities to take it through commercial. So that's really the synergy that we're looking at, how we can take capabilities from each organization into the other and into customers.
Right, right. And you also briefly touched about the new business wins. So I just wanted to confirm that you had planned to onboard 4 strategic accounts in FY24, 2 in automotive, 1 in energy and 1 in oil and gas. So have you started working on that direction or we have already onboarded them? And what do you mean by these strategic accounts? Like, is it the size of the business that they have to offer, or if you can just share some thoughts?
Yeah, no, Nirali, definitely strategic accounts for us is dependent on the size of the business. So for the size of our company, we would say that, you know, when we start a new account, which is strategic, getting to about $3 million annual revenue would classify that to be strategic. So, you know, as we speak, we have 2 automotive clients and we have 1 energy client, and these are accounts that we won in FY23. So it's about 3 quarters now, and, you know, all of them are progressing well. I would say headcount-wise, you know, the largest would be somewhere in the 75 to 80 headcount region. The smallest one is about 20, 25. So we are well on track of sort of growing this to be strategic, and we hope to sort of get them to that 3 million mark as much as possible.
And so lastly, we had a strategic alliance with Mangal Industries. So any update on that part?
Yeah, so the objective of tying up with Mangal Industries was that they have very good manufacturing capabilities. And we have seen that obviously there's a lot of manufacturing, definitely in aerospace, heavy engineering, etc., that's coming to India. And given the fact that we have relationships with these customers and OEMs, this was our way of trying to get a foothold in the manufacturing space where we could possibly look at some manufacturing coming to India, where we could program manage it, where we could do the engineering aspect of it. So that's the objective of the relationship. So as we speak, we are obviously socializing this with our clients. And the attempt is to try and see how we can get some of this to India. Having said that, you know, these are long cycle things, you know. It's easier to get services, but getting manufacturing of a component or a part to India takes much longer. But, you know, we are in a phase where we are sort of talking about these capabilities and trying to build out a couple of pilot customers and, you know, sort of grow it from there.
Great. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Requesting participants to restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand first on the interest cost. The refinancing that we have done this quarter, so any additional cost that has come in this quarter and what would be going forward interest cost?
So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the total finance cost for the quarter is around 20 crores, of which around 7 crores is the one time, or I would say the cost which you have to incur to prepare the borrowing from Anikat Capital, which was the earlier lender. Now going forward, you know, the per quarter interest cost or the finance cost will be moderating to around 11 to 12 crores per quarter.
11 to 12 crores of interest cost going forward, right?
Correct.
Understood. Fair enough. I understood. And secondly, on the margins front, I mean, you did mention that this product business, you expected to grow at a much faster rate, right? I mean, even quarter and quarter we should grow. So I presume that would, attract a better margin as compared to the margins that we would be clocking at the company level, right?
Yes, the defense business, when it gets into the production mode, carries a much higher margin as compared to the prototype, which first comes.
Correct. So what would be our aspirational margins that we may look at, let's say, next 1 to 2 years?
On the defense, I would say business, which gets into production, could be upwards of, say, 20% in terms of the EBITDA margin.
On an overall basis?
You are talking about at an enterprise level?
Company level, yeah.
Yeah. So we are at about 15.4%, as you see. We have been consistently maintaining that margin. And our objective and aspiration is to reach the industry best metric of around 18 to 19% in the next couple of years. So we need to bridge that gap between 15.5% to about 18 to 19%. And that is the journey which we are currently taking.
Correct. And at the company level, how fast are we looking to grow? I mean, the industry is growing very fast, right? I mean, and we have maintained in the past that we would like to beat the industry. But because of your inorganic acquisition as well, I mean, Mistral coming in and then this ad solution. So the trajectory of, let's say, 15-20% revenue growth for us, I mean, can it go beyond 30-35%? I mean, can we have that kind of trajectory because of the growth that we are seeing in the industry as well as your inorganic acquisitions that we have been doing, right? So any comment on that will be helpful, sir.
Yeah, so I'd like to comment on that. So I think the industry average is anywhere in the 15 to 18% range. Mm-hmm. And of course, some companies are given an outlook. I think all we'd like to say that we'd definitely like to grow beyond that rate. I don't want to specifically comment, as you know, we don't give specific guidance on these numbers. But of course, the objective of making these acquisitions, and, we call it a string of pearls strategy. So we are not making acquisitions for the purpose of, just for aggregating the top line. The reason is that we want to acquire specific capability which we can then organically take to our customers. So it is for us a long-term game. We believe that, with these acquisitions, of course, there will be short-term benefits when you consolidate revenues into the enterprise. But longer term, these capabilities are bets that we place in the industry. These are specific areas we believe will grow faster than other areas. So that will then put us into more industry-leading position. So I don't want to comment on specific percentages, but we believe we are in the right direction with some of these capabilities that we are acquiring.
Correct. Yep. I think that's very helpful, sir. I think, that answers all my queries and all the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Samyak Shah from the Nero Capsa. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was on ER&D. So I wanted to know what is the share of mechanical engineering, embedded and digital within our ER&D portfolio and the margin profile for each.
So what I can tell you is that we don't want to give you specific slice by slice breakup, but at a company level, I would say 30% of our revenues fall into the embedded and digital category, and about 70% into mechanical. And as we speak, of course, we're looking at how we can grow embedded and digital faster than mechanical going forward.
Okay. And secondly, this quarter we saw 170 bps expansion in our margin. So what was the reason behind it, and can we sustainably maintain this level in the coming quarters?
Yes. You see, in Q1 of FY24, the kind of, I would say, margins as what we got from the defense business was much more than, as compared to the engineering services business, which was around 12 to 12.5%. And in terms of sustaining these margins, as Muju said, we are getting into the production cycle in terms of defense, and the BS business is what Mistral has is at a much higher margin level. So we are confident of sustaining these margins. And as I said, our journey is between 15% to 19%, 18 to 19% in the next couple of years, and that's what we are now traversing with.
Fine, sir. And one last question. When do we expect heavy engineering revenues to pick up from here?
So we are putting in plans to sort of recover this in FY24 itself, so in this financial year. That's our outlook.
And so any plans for QIP?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I will get back in with you.
Thank you.
Next follow-up question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Ambika Finca. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My question is to Muju. We have a lot of defense orders. We've been working in various fields like in radars as well as in sonar. Can you give some color that these orders are spread over how many years and what are the new areas that Mistral is working on and what is the kind of potential that we are looking at?
In terms of radar technology, if you look at any radar which is manufactured or which is in the design phase in the country today, has something of Mistral in it. So we have about 7 or 8 different radar programs running in the country, and every radar program has something of Mistral which has gone into it. And similarly, sonar programs are done by for Indian Navy. Offshore sonar programs have our front end processing boards, real processing systems. So we have a lot of electronics in every sonar product which is developed in India. And in terms of new areas, we have a lot of things in terms of electronics which have gone into LTA and 230 upgrade program. These will see traction in about 2 years from now. 230 upgrades will happen. As you know, the LTA program is already in manufacturing stage.
Yeah, so on the drones, I thought we were working on it. Can you give some color on that?
Yes, we are doing some drones. Right now we are in field trials. I am expecting the field trials to be completed by the end of the year. And next year we should have a product ready with us.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rakesh Roy from Insect Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. My question is regarding your defense vertical. So with the appointment of Dr. S. Christopher as a director, what is our outlook for the next few years? And do we plan on embedding Ad Solutions GmbH to our defense vertical? And if so, how do we plan on going about with it?
So let me take that question. So, as you know, Dr. Christopher is renowned in the field of defense. He is the ex-chairman of DRDO. We felt that given that defense is so strategic to us, and of course the market is big and our capabilities are very differentiated, we're seeing a lot of interest from our customers, and we see, like I said, production ramping up. So we felt this was the right time to induct somebody on our board who could sort of guide us and give us, more advice, who could give us suggestions on the defense business. And this is just a reflection of the fact that for us, defense is so important that we wanted to bring in somebody from the board. As far as Ad Solutions is concerned, that's at the moment a purely automotive play. I don't foresee any synergies with defense. But having said that, I don't want to say never again. If opportunities do arise, we will certainly look at it. But in the near term, at least, I don't foresee, Ad Solutions having a play in the defense sector.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saurabh Sadwani from Sarasal Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you just tell us about the competitive landscape for the work that Ad Solutions does?
Yeah, so it's typically, you know, if you look at global companies, it's companies like Farshaw, it's companies like Bertrand. If you look at Indian companies, you know, KPIT obviously has a play in that sector. I would think maybe even LTTS has a play. So these are the kind of companies. So any engineering services company who has a presence in the automotive sector, who sort of does work on mechanical as well as embedded and software, would be players, you know, who would compete. But having said that, I would again say, want to stress on the fact that iSolutions has been working with this client for many years, like the way we have been working with our aerospace and heavy engineering clients. They have very, very solid relationships, and, you know, they have carved a niche for themselves. They have very impressive labs in their offices in Wolfsburg, where, you know, parts of the automotive actually come in, and where a lot of the testing, the software testing, the HMI testing is done. So I would think that, you know, what they do for, you know, some of those platforms is very unique.
Okay. And given that it is very difficult, like you said, it's virtually impossible to get a supplier code, it would be very difficult to get into those clients for other peers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, because these German OEMs already have a rich ecosystem of partners, you know, the only way for a new company to get in is through an alliance or through an acquisition. And that has been our strategy to add, and I think some other companies have done the same as well, as you're aware.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. That answers me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajendra Shah from Fidelity Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, given the rapid growth that you're projecting, what would be the capital requirement and when would you need to raise capital?
You see, the thing is, you see, at the moment in terms of the debt which you have raised, you know, obviously has taken care of, you know, the acquisition as what transpired in 2023. But the company is generating, you know, say at an enterprise level, at a consolidated level, sufficient free cash flows which will comfortably service this debt as well as leave money on the table in terms of the capex, you know, plan as we have. You know, the capex is not really, you know, that significant and that large for us to look at capital raise only for that purpose. But definitely, you know, capital raise will help in terms of reducing the debt burden and the interest burden. We can obviously feed back into the kind of free cash flows.
So would you consider raising money next year, next financial year?
The plan is there. The plan is there in terms of, you know, I would say raising some amount of primary capital to reduce the debt.
I would just put it this way that, you know, our focus has been on, one is making sure the company is on the growth path, and secondly, that we are an efficient professional organization. So I think we have made good steps in that regard. So we want to get to a point, Rajendra, where, you know, we are sort of generating cash. We have a good pipeline, we have good growth prospects, and you know, once we get there, and I think we are well on track, and I think this quarter has been great, and I think we are seeing a good outlook going forward as well. I think sometime in the mid to long term, we will definitely look at, you know, raising capital. But I think at the moment our focus is we don't want to get into too many things. We want to make sure that we optimize the organization, put it on a growth path, build a leadership team, get good marquee customers, and then take it to the next level.
And do you think that the current price is too low a price to raise capital?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Is the current share price too low a price to raise additional capital, given the future outlook for the company?
I think that we leave it to you guys to decide. You guys are the investors, you are experts at it. But we certainly believe that with better performance, we can certainly improve the market capitalization of the company.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohammed Hassan from Fair Deal Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to know what could be the possible tax rate for the financial year 24.
Can you just repeat that, please?
What could be the possible tax rate for the year, financial year 24?
The average would be around 25%. All entities, you know, put together in terms of what we deal with.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question for today. And now I hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale for closing comments.
Hi. Thanks, everyone, for connecting on the call today. I'd also like to thank the management for sparing time and answering all the queries today. Orient Capital is the investor relations advisor to Axis Capital. For any queries, please feel free to reach out to us. Thanks, everyone. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Axis Capital Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.